Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Even before the pandemic, obesity made military recruitment difficult, in particular childhood obesity. People often enlist soon after they turn 18, and at that point in their lives, nearly one-third of would-be recruits are not eligible because they do not meet the military's standard for fitness. Army recruiters around the U.S. are now running unofficial programs to help recruits lose weight, NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
Marcus Robinson shows up at the Army's recruitment office in Waldorf, Maryland, carrying a water bottle and wearing his high school's track and field jersey. In the parking lot, a recruiter leads about 15 prospective recruits in weekly workouts.
I say every week, don't quit on yourself, right?
Today, it involves rounds of squats, push-ups, and laps. Robinson's a regular. He started coming last summer, hoping to follow his brother into the military. At 18, he also needs Army benefits to pay for college.
I had to do it because, like, I didn't want my parents to worry about paying for school and then we're end up in debt, and then I'm paying for college loans for the next 20 years of my life.
But at 240 pounds last year, Robinson realized he was too heavy to enlist. Plenty of others are like him. Across all branches of the military, childhood obesity creates big challenges. According to the Department of Defense, obesity alone disqualifies 31% of would-be recruits aged 17 to 24. That's especially troubling for the Army, as the military's largest branch. It needs about 130,000 recruits every year to carry out its missions. Some years it falls short, and obesity is a big reason for that. Marcus Robinson always struggled with his weight. The pandemic made things worse.
After Corona started, that Corona 15 hit me hard.
His summer job at an ice cream shop packed on more pounds. He shows me a photo on his cell phone. His t-shirt strains across his belly.
This was even me at the beginning of the year. Even looking back on that day, it was like, I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, dang.
Dieting failed, so he turned to his Army recruiter as a fitness mentor.
I had to lose 10 inches around my waist. It was a big number, and every time I came in, I was like, hey, kids, you measure me, and it turned into 6, turned into 5, turned into 3.
March of this year, Robinson had lost 65 pounds. He finally enlisted.
It's like, we did it. We're here.
We, in this case, include Staff Sergeant Stephen Alstrom. He stuck with Robinson, telling him to drink a gallon of water a day, avoid fast food, and work out.
It's hard because you're going to go out and your mind is going to quit before your body does. So hyping them up to let them know that they can do it.
The Army does not sponsor programs specifically to help potential recruits lose weight. But about a decade ago, many recruiters started to realize they had to help people lose weight in order to succeed at their jobs. Across the country, individual recruiters began unofficially mentoring wannabe soldiers to lose weight. Lots of it. Last year, Alstrom helped one young man lose 100 pounds.
I'd meet him up here sometimes on Saturdays and we'd do some extra workouts. He was highly motivated and he's doing really well right now.
Alstrom sometimes picks them up and drives them to workouts himself. It's hard work. Success is far from guaranteed. But Malcolm Frost says given obesity's prevalence, recruiters have little choice. Frost is a retired Army Major General. He's also a member of Mission Readiness, a nonprofit group focused on preparing young people for service.
In a generation or two, this is going to be a potential existential threat to our nation.
He says historically, the military recruits heavily from rural areas in southern states where obesity rates run even higher. Recruiters can't afford to ignore them, Frost says. Instead, they have to try to help them lose weight to qualify.
That's what our recruiters across the nation are dealing with.
Obesity is of huge concern to top military brass. But addressing it once it's already set in is notoriously difficult. Many factors perpetuating it are beyond a recruiter's control, things like family income and access to healthy food. Jeffrey Snow headed recruitment for the Army and Army Reserves until 3 years ago. During his tenure, the former Major General was outspoken about powerful forces that contribute to obesity, like food marketing and food insecurity.
It's a wicked problem. It's a wicked problem, and I'd also be the first one to tell you, after talking myself blue in the face over the course of 3 years, I can't even tell Yuki that I had an impact on this issue.
And yet, Snow says, recruiters' grassroots efforts do make a difference, and the Army agrees, though it doesn't track people before they enlist. But Snow estimates that as many as 1,000 to 2,000 people a year end up losing enough weight to make the cut.
For those young men and women that were able to join, I tell you, it changed their life.
Marcus Robinson says that's certainly true for him, even though he still struggles.
Eating is a mental challenge.
He gets discouraged when he compares himself to super fit men at the gym, or when he falls off his diet of lean meats and vegetables. But his recruiter, Stephen Ahlstrom, is his backstop.
One Wednesday, he wasn't performing as well, and it's because of his diet. And
do you remember that conversation?
I actually do. Came in late, and I was talking to him about how I felt, and he just got me back on track.
Ahlstrom nods and smiles. He admits he, too, has his own junk food impulses.
I make Friday my cheat day. You can't just cut off all that delicious food all the time.
I work out almost every day for 3 hours. I had to get a cheat day. Saturday nights were definitely my cheat day. Mm-hmm.
But Robinson also says eating healthier has changed his taste for food.
Yeah, the fast food is good. But when you look back at it, it's like, is it that good? Especially like soda. If you drink water, you start drinking soda, soda tastes disgusting. I don't know if that happened with you, but...
You can feel the difference. Like, yeah. If you go eat that double cheeseburger, and then usually about Friday night, about 8 o'clock, I'm sitting on the couch going, like, I kind of regret that, but...
Later, back outside in the parking lot, Robinson and other recruits sweat their way through 100 squats.
I'm on 75. I feel better.
Nearby, a young boy named Nicholas plays with his toy cars. His mother is also a recruit, puffing through exercises.
Go, Mommy, go!
Go, Mommy, go, he says, then tells the group, I'm so proud of y'all. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Waldorf, Maryland.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, May 19, 2021. So I have been told. It has been an awful, I keep saying it's been an awful year, but it is no longer 2020. It's been a really bad 15 months, to put it mildly. Low on adjectives at the moment. You'll have to forgive me, but it has been an extremely unpleasant period of time, really since the beginning of 2020. And we just, you know, try our best to try to get through it, help each other through it as victims of white supremacy, and hopefully stay motivated, keep our vitality up, go about solving the problem. The audio segment that we heard, I know, is the subject matter near and dear to Dr. Ruby Lathan's heart about obesity and... They were talking about obesity in the military, but child obesity was really what they were saying, because they had so many people, they said between 18 and 24, over 30%. That's like a third of the recruits fail because they're overweight. The term we got from Dr. Judith Finlayson, obesogenic environment. I'm going to ask Dr. Lathan about that today. But that subject matter, near and dear to her heart, for many, many reasons. Gus T, as well. I mean, what kind of environment is that? These are not presumably the people who just, oh yeah, I love sitting on the couch. I am all about Netflix binge. You know, let's get the Cheetos and chicken sandwiches and get comfortable. We are gonna watch like the quarantine. I love it. You know, let's get, presumably these are not those folks, because they want to go and join the Marines and go train me how to kill and bomb non-white people, most likely. That's what I want to do. Sign me up. Obese at 18 to 24, like. Anyway, I was super excited to discuss that prostate health. Man, we just had, I think it was Andrew. in the UK. He was with us on our Sunday Global Talk on Racism, White Supremacy, and he was talking about prostate health. And I said, oh man, that's absolutely. We will ask Dr. Lathan about that. We will get it down, and you know, absolutely. And we had Irie as well. I had the sound clip together and everything to talk about getting her child motivated. She was saying that she wanted to get her son, who's into weightlifting and all that, no problem to get him, you know, thinking more that you can totally do plant-based eating and still be gaining muscle mass, very athletic, all of that. She has talked with us about Game Changers in the past, and super excited for all of that. However, Dr. Lathan contacted me about 30 minutes before we went live, and unfortunately her father passed away, and she is having to deal with all of that and go be with family. All of that just happened suddenly. So our thoughts, I know Dr. Lathan has been with us on the cows like many, many times over the years, way back to my tubby days, in fact, like 2018, I think. So I'm sure we have many cows listeners. I know we have folks, I think Henry in Chicago, he just dialed in and said he had Dr. Lathan's Sloppy Joe, vegan plant-based Sloppy Joes. He said that his wife is not even a plant-based eater, and she loved them. Like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. And you know, many other recipes. I think we've had a lot of other folks who said that they turned to some of her health tips to help them make improvements with their diet, tried out some of her recipes. We were going to talk about her academy where you can do fitness and get recipes and all that, but man, it has been, I keep wanting to say it's been a really grueling year, but it's substantially more than a year now. So for the many, many cows listeners around the world who have benefited mightily from some of Dr. Lathan's information over her many, many visits to the program, certainly our energy, well wishes, condolences to she and her family. I normally see she and her mom, often her sister, for yoga on Fridays. I was going to ask about that. Like, how did you get the whole family like into plant-based eating? Like, normally it'll be one person, and then everybody else will sit around and ridicule and mock and laugh as they eat chicken and, you know, Cheetos and all the rest of it, but not the Lathan household. Like, they got everybody happily, like, merrily eating and sometimes involved in the cooking. Like, it is amazing. Like, I was going to ask how all that came to be, but, man, I just, it has been a grueling, grueling time. I hope that they are all taking really good care of themselves, nourishing themselves really, really well. I was saying I hope they are eating really healthful, delicious foods and thinking of some of their best, fondest memories of their father. I guess if anything, I think so many people, we've had so many listeners who've called in and have talked about people that they've lost in their family. Even some of our young people, remember, called in and said that they had lost family members and stuff, several family members sometimes. It has just been a really exhausting, challenging, stressful, unpleasant year. Plus, I don't even have the words correct for it. Don't have the words. Just trying as best that we can to get through it. And if anything, hopefully, if something can be salvaged from the many losses and endless grieving, it seems like, that we have had over this period, we can be motivated. Hey, vitality. None of us is promised tomorrow. None of us is even promised the rest of Wednesday. Vitality. That right there is something you really cannot put a price on. Your health and vitality, which we will need to solve this problem, that I think is why Dr. Lathan does this work. We started way back, if you go back and listen to her very first visit in 2018, and she talked about her grandmother. In fact, that's in What the Health, featuring Dr. Lathan, where she talks about her grandmother and saying, man, you know, if I had been able to get this information quicker, not only would it have been better for my health, I think I could have helped keep my grandmother around and with a little bit more vitality, as opposed to her getting all those medications and everything. And then on top of that, her not being here with me anymore. I think that's what we talked about way back in 2018. And as I said, she talks about it in the documentary, What the Health. But I think that undergirds is not, you know, I said this as well. It's not just so that I can be cool and brag like, ooh, I look at all the kale I eat. Ooh, look at all the carrots I eat. No, it's you want health and vitality. Said that to other folks, man, listen to Mr. Fuller. I can't say I'm not, you know, in his refrigerator and what have you. So I can't say Mr. Fuller is a vegan. He might be on the keto diet. I don't know. Not in his refrigerator, but I know he does talk about eating correctly, and he's talked about, you know, why he doesn't specify what to eat and all that. But I mean, he does talk about the importance of that. I think if Mr. Fuller was a reckless eater, he probably would not be doing programs and such at this age. I'm not a doctor. I could be totally incorrect, but I mean, that is real important. It's not just, you know, like I said, so we can brag how many times I went to Whole Foods or, you know, whatever the cool shopping spot is, or, you know, look what I ate. You didn't eat like that. So not at all. Health. And again, we said this at the very first yoga retreat in VA, the Commonwealth. That is the protest right there. You don't have to go, you know, run around in the street and yell and scream and stomp your feet and hold up a sign. Get that plate and be really mindful. Eat as though you intend. The goal is to solve this problem immediately so that I can frolic. If I'm 20 years old, let's get this problem solved before I turn 23, sense of urgency, and then I can enjoy like a good 80 years unfettered by racism. That's the way we should be thinking, you know. Ungodly, if I have to be here, if it's going to take me being here with full vitality until I'm 100 to get this problem solved, well, you know, let me get my carrots in right now. You know, that's what it's going to be. And you see that in operation, Mr. Fuller. That's just not talking nonsense. You see that in operation right there. You even see that with Dr. Welsing. She was in her 80s, I believe, 82. Same thing. She said the same thing. I wasn't in her refrigerator either, but I am told Sabrina Johnson, she also was not reckless about food. In fact, I was told she ate once a day, but that might not be true. But I know I've heard her talk about us not being reckless with food. Dr. Lathan for sure would appreciate that one. But I just hope she and her family are doing as best they can and having lots of extraordinary memories of their father. And I am certain, like, probably lots of amazing memories of eating all kinds of yummy food with him. As I said, I was, you know, texting her before we went on. I was like, oh man, can't believe that, you know, devastation. I hope they're eating really good foods. I hope they get to eat some of the foods that he really enjoyed and loved the most. I hope they can eat that and yeah, have some of their better memories of their father. So anyway, Dr. Lathan will not be with us this evening, obviously, but hopefully after proper time, we can get her on the program to talk about the full slate of issues that we were going to address this evening. Prostate cancer, helping some of the young folks correct their diet, taking some of the questions from listeners, how you address getting family members. Like I said, I wanted to hear that. How do you get the whole family on board and excited, gleeful about correct eating? Like, give us some tips on that too. But hopefully we'll be able to make that happen sometime in the future. But man, what a year. Incidentally, I was going to ask Dr. Ruby about this. This is going to be one of my first questions I was going to ask. They did say in that segment, they got to have your cheat day, right? They said that you hear people, some of them who say that they had to lose 60 pounds and 40 pounds overweight and obese and made seem like could have been childhood obesity we were talking about. And they said, I got to have my cheat day. You know, got to have at least one day. You know, I work out 3 hours a day. I got to have at least one cheat day. I'll put it this way. Michael Jordan, the great victim of white supremacy, cowbell, unfortunately. The great Michael Jordan, his trainer for many years when he was at the top of his athletic profession, he said, cheat days. Don't do cheat days. He said it pretty emphatically. The reason explanation that he gave for no cheat days, meaning this is a day where you just eat whatever you want, as much as you want, beer, whatever, blah, 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 sobriety would be best. The reason he gave is he said, it doesn't matter what you do those 5 days. You work out like a savage. You know, you work out 3 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 20 hours a day, whatever it is. Professional athletes, you know, savages. It doesn't matter what you do those 5 days. You can obliterate all of that. Just 2 days of cheating. And you even heard in the NPR segment that some of the people, they would go to do workouts some days and their performance would be adversely impacted by what they ate. I can speak to that personally. Before I was a yogi, when I lived in California, I ran all the time. I loved running. I ran every day. Sometimes I would run twice a day. I'd run in the morning and then I'd run again in the evening. That's when I can say you will directly feel. If you have not been eating correctly, I was vegan once I started running on a regular basis, vegetarian, then vegan, and became sober. Not even at the time I drank. I drank tequila shots regularly, drank with my coworkers, happy hour, and all that foolishness. Neutralizing workplace racism every Friday. Big no-no. And I stopped because of running. I could feel it immediately in my performance. We did happy hour. I went drinking. I went to run the next day and felt awful. Dehydrates you and does a lot of other bad things to your body. And immediately, because I was committed, just like racist man and racist woman, committed to the system of white supremacy, I was committed to running and ran consistently for about 2 years. So I absolutely did not drink at all. So I do not think you can have cheat days. And also, even in his answer, when he justified his cheat days, he said, I work out for 3 hours a day. The great Michael Jordan. Now, he said he was doing that at first, at the early part of his career. His trainer said as he got older in his career, not old, but older, he was married to his black female at first, no cowbell. And he had children. And being the greatest athlete in the world, he's doing movies and commercials and blah, 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 blah. So now he has a lot more time commitments. He doesn't have the same time to do a 5-hour workout. Now we got to condense this and get all this in like an hour and a half, 75 minutes, something like that, which they did, obviously, 6 championships. But in my view, if the great Michael Jordan, it's probably not sustainable that you're going to be able to work out for 3 hours a day. I would say for the regular person who is not in the military, who is not a professional athlete, who has another job, who is a victim of racism, who doesn't have a personal trainer, that is probably not feasible that you're going to be able to work out 3 hours a day. So that will justify you having a cheat day. In my view, you just try to eat correct foods, eat well, eat delicious, healthy foods every day that you are alive. That's the goal. Not cheat days, whatever that means. You try to eat well, get some exercise, move your body around. 10,000 steps a day is what they recommend. It is not healthy to be sedentary. They said that a lot. That COVID-19, there you go, right there. The other COVID-19, I think he said COVID-15 in his, but whatever, sitting around is really bad. You want to talk about unhealthy? Sitting around is really bad for your immune system. So find something, yoga, running, swimming, hiking, something where you are moving your body around, maybe something where you can get outside. If you cannot do yoga in the house, I did yoga outside today, and most of this summer or spring I've been doing yoga outside. But try to find something where you can get outside, maybe But something where you're active, you can burn some calories, get your heart rate up a little bit. It is so, again, I mean, the gravity of why Dr. Lathan is not here. Nothing is more important than your health and vitality. The system of white supremacy is designed to snatch our fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters way before their time. That's what this system is designed to do. Diet right there, all the way down with Dr. Ruby Lathan. That right there is all connected to us not being in the distress of racism, white supremacy. Every which way, school, work, all areas of people, activity, and then the food. Starve you to death. We're talking about that with Geronimo Pratt. Or make it so that you got to go 50 miles to get some healthy food. Or we just bombard you with McDonald's and hot dogs and all the rest of it. Nonsense. I'll definitely, if folks have any thoughts that they want to get in, just if a thought or word you would like to share for Dr. Lathan's loss, we can get that on the record for sure. Man, just been such a really, really awful period of time for an extended period of just grieving and loss for so many people around the world. But again, the gravity of all of this, health is really important for all of the folks for years. Cal's listeners and many other folks, people have said this, you know, for as long as Mr. Fuller has been doing his work, like, it shouldn't be, you know, 9 areas of people activity. It should be health. Health should be added. It should be 10, you know. Hey, whether you add it or not, man, health is really, and Mr. Fuller acknowledges that, health is really important in terms of what you eat, what you drink. I guess if I could get, I was going to ask, this is on my list, I was going to ask Dr. Lathan this evening, in terms of, we're talking what you drink, man, they talked about water in that segment that we had. And that segment was on NPR from just 2 days ago. Today, Wednesday, May 19th, that was Monday, May 17th, NPR Morning Edition, where they were just talking about this subject matter. I was going to play. I had other audio segments to play. In fact, I can give you the order. So we had Irie on the compensatory call-in on Saturday, was talking about her offspring found a parasite in his meat product, still said, I'm dedicated to meat eating. Arr. Saturday, we had Andrew. He was on the Global Sunday Talk, and he said, man, is Dr. I mentioned this program, Dr. Lathan's hanging out with us again. Blah, blah, blah. He said, man, Gus, is she going to talk about prostate health? Because a lot of black males suffer with that. Is she going to talk about what we can do with diet and prostate health? And I said, write that down. Make sure we get that for this coming Wednesday. We'll ask about prostate health. So I had those two that could have easily been intros. But then Monday, that played on Morning Edition NPR. And I said, wow, that's right. And that was the whole shebang. Cheat days. What do you think about that, Dr. Lathan? Childhood obesity. What do you think about that? Like, it was so many different angles of that. 30%. It was over 30%. It was about a third of the population who signs up, tries to join the armed services. And whammo, too much tubbiness. You're going to have to put those Cheetos down, do something, drink more water. Say that enough. Drink. I know Dr. Lathan, bang, big co-sign on that. She said that from her very first visit with us. Drink more water. You want to lose weight? Drink more water. Looking for a hack, as they call it. If you, you know, are prone to eating sometimes and snacking when you shouldn't, drink more water. You want to be more regular? Drink more water. Even if you think you are drinking enough water, drink more water. That is an enormous one. In fact, I should be drinking more water. I just did yoga today and did not drink my full 8 ounces. It's looking at, I did have a smoothie, though. I did have a smoothie, so I'm not totally negligent in that department. But I should even, Gus T, drink more water. But incidentally, the cheat days, I was so looking forward to getting her thoughts on that. The childhood obesity component, though, there's so many different layers that I was hoping to bring up with her. But again, we'll have time down the road. And just, man, health and vitality, super, super important. Everybody, I think most people generally are excited about eating. I think it's the reason they call them happy meals and all the rest of it. I like eating. I think Dr. Ruby loves eating. She seems pretty excited when she gets to do her baking demonstrations or cooking demonstrations, more than baking, cooking demonstrations. Most people I know, they generally get excited about eating. I'm always excited about plant-based eating. But generally, it's happy about delicious, healthy foods, not nonsense. Anywho, since I was on my water kick, I will say my recommendation, if you have children, one thing, if we're going to talk about childhood obesity, that was in the segment, my one suggestion as someone who is not a certified nutritionist, not a doctor, and does not have children. All of that said, as someone who did have weight problems and was tubby not too long ago, man, if you have offspring yourself and or you have access to children, you teach, we have a lot of educators, right, who listen to the program, or Iria, she said she wanted to contact retired firefighter about getting information, tips on conducting a program for young people and just, you know, how you manage it all, make it as constructive as possible, share some counter-racist tips with the young folks as well. Awesome. If you have access to young people, there would be no non-water beverages at any time. That is one thing right there. You get a twofer on that one. Double whammy the constructive way. No sugar. Nonsense. You're fighting against racism, white supremacy, and you're fighting against childhood obesity, contributing to health. Really, that's the trouble. And they're drinking water. It's win, 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 and it's probably a quadruple, because that, I am sure, is going to be way cheaper. Even you can be high on the hog. You can get like the artesian spring water, right? Evian, everybody can have Evian, or, you know, whatever it is. Perrier, do it up. But everybody is drinking water, breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, whatever, dessert, whatever it is. We're doing water. Not orange juice, not fruit juices, water. That right there alone would be enormous. It's just empty cap. There's no healthy fruit juice or what have you. I never have orange juice. Never. I think I bought orange juice like one time in the last year. And the only times I purchased it or had it in my residence was for a smoothie. So I was not just going to have a glass of orange juice. It would be like literally measured 2-3 ounces and then, you know, dumping that in with fruit and a whole lot of other items and mixing that up. So, I mean, just in terms of a glass of orange juice, like never. Any fruit juice, never. I had a smoothie before we got started. Tea. That's not sweetened. That's on the list for prostate cancer. Green tea, that's a good one. But I mean, that's so many people. And I think it starts at a very young age with non-water beverages and all that sugar and just being accustomed to not drinking water. And that's just so many empty calories in those Starbucks beverages. I'm in Seattle, so I mean, this is Starbucks, like 5 of them on every block. Those sugary caffeinated drinks and all the rest of it is just so many unnecessary calories. Like, drink water. Like, that would be my one really, really strong suggestion that could have, like, we're talking like a lifelong impact. You have access to young people, particularly if any of those younger people even look like they might be a little bit over what their healthy weight should be. Oh, yeah. We are not doing anything but water. No sodas, no fruit drinks, no OJ. Be clear, Rental James on my mind. No orange juice. Just water. Just water. That is so healthy. And so many people don't drink enough water anyway. And it's got all those chemicals and everything and all the sodas and all the rest of it and sugar and just so many reasons. If you have access to children, just water. That's at least one bat. I'm not even saying that you got to toss out all the Cheetos and all the rest of it and switch it up for celery sticks and kale chips and all the rest of it. Just the water alone would be huge. I mean, wow. Then we can get to the rest of it. Like, yes, no donuts either and blah, 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 and all the rest of it. But number one, if I had to pick, would be water. No sodas, no OJ, no fruit juice, just water. And always, there is never a time when we would have something other than water if children are going to be at this event. No unnecessary sugar, way too much of that for the children anyway. They got soda machines in the school, for goodness sake. Generally, they got multiple, not just one. They'll have multiple soda machines in the schools. Anywho. Dr. Lathan. Thoughts with Dr. Lathan and her family. We'll check, see if folks have anything they would like to share. Anything, as I said, if you just want to get something on the record for Dr. Lathan, that is sure welcome. Just to have that recorded. And then, yeah, we'll check, double check. Let's see, our caller at 7073. Line should be open.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, callers. May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hi, sorry, I'm at work. I'm currently moving in a cable shaft. I just wanted to chime in. I've called in a few times. This is maybe my second time speaking. I wanted to wish my best to Dr. Lathan and her family. You and Dr. Lathan have been a big part of me. I've been vegan for 2 months now, and I think that's largely due to the information I've been getting on this program from you. Dr. Lathan, I've listened to quite a few of her episodes as well, and just wanted to offer that information and wish my best to her and her family. I also have a question for you. I spoke in on another episode about something, but I kind of, a lot of this information you give is very, it takes time for me to digest and to contemplate, so I may come to conclusions at later times. I wanted to speak on the non-white counter-racist code conversation, just a quick moment if possible, sir.
Proceed.
I completely agree with it. Initially, I was very hesitant. I didn't speak up during the episode because it's a lot of information and it's hard to digest. It took a while for me to come to the conclusion that I personally have decided that, considering myself or referring to myself as a non-white black male, specifically, but non-white would be the best course of action for me in my counter-racist efforts. And I just wanted to put that on the record and my wishing well and sending positive energy to Dr. Lathan and her family, and express gratitude to you and her for the valuable information. And if I may be referred to, I can... you can refer to me as Shadow if there's no one else. I'm from Pennsylvania. That's all, sir.
Shadow from Pennsylvania. Okay. That will be your handle from now on, Shadow Pennsylvania. One, much obliged thoughts to Dr. Ruby and her family. Congratulations on your transition. You said it's been 2 months. I guess Dr. Ruby helped in some way. Some of the information, I'm sure she would appreciate that. Just the 2 months of your transition, how has it been? Has it, what have the impacts been, if any, of the 2 month change?
I work 10-hour shifts where I use my most of the muscles in my body for the majority of those 10-hour shifts. I have more energy. I'm eating less. I require less fuel to travel the same or to accomplish the same goals and or tasks. I have taken the easy way out, and I was wondering if I could talk to someone about that. I went ahead and grabbed the Beyond sausage, and I put it in some, tricolor veggie pasta and whatnot. I kind of don't have anyone to talk to ask if that's an acceptable, healthy route. I know processed foods are frowned upon, but as far as the benefits, I use my physical, my body. I put myself through great physical demand on a daily basis. I'm able to replenish quicker. It's almost word for word what, I forget her name, I'm terrible with names, what the Olympic medalist was saying a month or so back.
Bausch.
Yes, sir. Word for word. I mean, I have much more energy. I get debilitated much. It takes a lot more to tire me out in every way. It's like I'm stronger. I feel more healthy, more fit, clearer headed. I feel it's enhanced me in a number of ways.
Much obliged. No paid endorsement for promoting plant-based eatings here at the Cows. Dotsie Bausch, Olympic silver medalist. She was on the Cows just a few months back, not that long ago. Suspected racist. She is a white woman. But she did have a lot of, I think, correct information about getting rid of dairy specifically and plant-based eating. And she said the same thing about how it improved her fitness and how she was able to get that silver medal. Plant-based eating being a part of it, that hopefully Irie's offspring heard that. He said 10-hour shifts where he has to use almost all the muscles in his body rigorously for the whole 10-hour shift. He feels better, recuperates faster. Heard that consistently. That's all throughout the documentary Game Changers, which Dr. Lathan has recommended, which I hope the young fellow will check out, Irie's offspring. We'll check out, but it's filled with folks lifting weights, big guys, and plant-based, no problems, have gained muscle mass. And I mean, when I say big guys, over 300 pounds, big guys, and plant-based, lifting big-time weight. Anywho, and incidentally, bravo, that is what intelligent people do, take time to come to a conclusion. Racism, white supremacy is important. No need to rush to judgment about anything just because anybody, white person, non-white person, regardless of what they have to say, take your time, as much time as needed, to come to a logical conclusion. What intelligent folks do. Let's see. Much obliged, sir. Again, much obliged for the kind words, Dr. Lathan, she and her family. And, I guess to respond to your question, that was what you said, the people to talk to. If you say taking the easy way out, I think we talked about this with Dr. Lathan and specifically with like the Beyond Meat and other, these are like for people, meat eaters. These are like the fake meat products and such. I think they're starting to have some of these products at like Burger King, Chipotle, McDonald's, those type places. And he said he was using some of that to make like pasta and that sort of thing. I've done that before. That is way better than, you know, KFC, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, whatever it is. Like, as you said, I think you said processed foods or processed meats are frowned upon. I think Dr. Lathan said she looked at it as good, better, best. The Beyond Meat products, and they have lots of those, that is good. That would be good, and that would be way better than, and I think she said it just this way better than, you know, McDonald's or whatever you were eating before. We won't even ask, but way better than that. You can do better. We're still learning, and we can improve. And I can take myself, right? So way back the first time when Dr. Lathan came to visit, I was in my temporary flood residence, ick. So I had been vegan for maybe 3 or 4 months. So, and the place where I was living, since it was a temporary flood residence, I didn't have an oven and I didn't have a full stovetop. I had a separate toaster oven, which, you know, was rather large enough that you could do some baking, but it's not a full size oven. And then eventually I got an air fryer to add with that and a rice cooker. But it was kind of a limited, smaller kitchen, temporary flood spot. So what I was eating then is very different than the way that I eat now. Like then I would get some of the same things and just do, you know, like you said, get the, I didn't do the Beyond Burger or whatever stuff. I was never a red meat person, but I would get like the, fake chicken, Mandarin chicken, with like rice, vegetables. I would do that, which is not horrible, but you could do way better. Like something like that, I would not eat that sort of thing now. Like to compare, like, what am I eating today? Today I had a smoothie just before we went on. My smoothie, I had beets, carrots, ginger, spinach, apples, oranges, mango. Oranges, I keep the peel on, more fiber. Pineapple. It was absurd. Blueberries. Absurd. Absolutely absurd. So delicious. Peanut butter. Forgot. So I had my smoothie. That's all I've eaten so far today. I am on the West Coast. It's only 6 p.m. I am going to eat chickpea pot pie, which I love. I have pictures of this on my Facebook page. All from scratch. Something like this I couldn't even have made when Dr. Latham was first on the program, because you have to have a full-size oven for this, which I didn't have at the time. You also have to have a cast iron skillet, which I also didn't have at the time, so wouldn't even have been possible. But something like this is, you know, from scratch, crust, and it's filled with chickpeas, broccoli, carrots. Yeah, like all kinds of goodies, like fresh garlic, like a made sweet potato, amazing celery, carrots, mushrooms. It's amazing, and it's you can have some of the things that people grew up with, the frozen pot pies, which have chicken in them traditionally and are super salty. You can have that with all fresh vegetables, super tasty, super filling. When people talk about veggie meals that are not nourishing and where you still are hungry, not with this. Although that's never the case when I eat, but I mean, you will be great. Like, it is so savory and filling, and the crust is amazing. So all that to say, I don't think it's frowned upon. I think it's good. Better, best, as Dr. Latham said previously. And I also think the longer you are vegan, like it's only been 2 months, the longer you're plant-based, your palate will change. Number one, I suspect you've already noted that, but the same way that they talked about in the sound clip, like the people that used to drink like a lot of sodas and sugary beverages, once they started drinking water more regularly, it didn't even taste the same. Like, oh my gosh, this is so syrupy, I don't even want this. So as you continue, especially if you completely wean off those other foods, the junk foods and nonsense, your palate will continue to change. And so you can explore, like get some vegan cookbooks. There are tons of them. Black people, everybody, check them out. There are tons of vegan blogs where you can see different ways to cook. You'll experiment different types of food, different new fruits and vegetables. And yeah, it'll change. I'm sure if you stick with it, the way that you eat 6-7 months from now will be different from what you're eating now. So I would say just enjoy, try out, you know, new fruits and vegetables, and try to see if you can find some cookbook. Dr. Latham, she has a recipe. It doesn't even have to be cookbooks. It could be like a Dr. Latham, her website, rubylathan.com, where she has recipes. There are other black people. They have vlogs and YouTube channels, all the rest of it. And maybe you find one or two recipes that, hey, over the next month or so, I will try to prepare one of these dishes, you know, and I am sure, I'm pretty sure you can find something, probably many, many things that you'll be excited about, but I'm sure if you look, you'll be finding recipes where it will not be including like the Impossible Burgers and stuff like that, where you'll learn other techniques of how you can make plant-based meals that are super delicious, don't involve processed foods, and hopefully don't take a whole lot of time to prepare either. The chickpea pot pie that I'm making today, this does take a little bit more time if you're going to do the crust from scratch, and then the veggies and all that, a little bit more time, but this is one that you can eat like repeatedly, like you can have, you know, 2-3 meals. So but yeah, those are my thoughts on that. We'll see if any of if we have any other veggie listeners, folks who've been impacted by Dr. Lathan's teachings. You can share your thoughts on your kind of vegan journey. You can journal about it too. It can be just for you or something to share, but for a lot of people that's helpful to just kind of see their food experience, because as food can be such a intimate personal thing, like the things that we eat. Our palate is so shaped by, you know, what we ate with our parents growing up and what they cooked for us and what we ate together. So that can be something too, to really think, you know, where the stuff that I normally ate and the things that I normally have a taste for, and even, you know, where I normally go to, where I normally drift to in the supermarket. Why is that? You know, those type of things can be interesting to think about or not. Let's see. The caller in California. Commentary that you want to add with us, you should be here also.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, callers and listeners. I haven't had the fortune of hearing Dr. Lathan speak, but I do wish her survival unit the ability to maintain well during their trials and tribulations. But I have transitioned to a less poison-filled diet, vegan diet. And what I would recommend for Shadow to attempt to include in their diet, if they like eating burgers, they could get, I believe they're called portobello mushrooms. Whatever mushrooms that are large, you could saute that up, season that lightly, and you could have a nice burger with some tomatoes and onions. And what I've added into my cooking routine is vegan enchiladas. You can get jackfruit. Where I live, they usually come in cans from a store called Sprouts. You can make some enchiladas with the jackfruit, some beans of your choosing, onions, tomatoes, and also mushrooms. You can add to that as well. And that's pretty simple to make. And you can make like quite a bit of them as well, and that could be something to add to your diet as well. I've experienced almost total elimination of headaches from my less poison-filled diet. I don't get headaches kind of at all anymore, but when I was eating a lot of poison, I got headaches quite often, despite my workout routine and despite all the things I was attempting to do to improve my health. And my cellmate, she just made some really amazing vegan burritos with like lentils and homemade vegan cheese. Also, if that Shadow, if you have access to a blender or a Vitamix, you could start making smoothies. I would add flax seeds and chia seeds to all the smoothies, and what Gus said, the ginger, and as many fruits and veggies you can get your hands on. And what Neely Fuller recommends is soups. You can literally like kind of add as many vegetables as you want to soup, and sometimes I will add chicken to my soup, because I just like chicken in the soup. But even that is very filling and for me. And there's tons of low energy vegan meals that victims can prepare. That's all I have to share. Thank you for allowing me to share, Gus. Leave my line.
Much obliged, good sir. Are you, before you exit, are you affiliated intelligent young Z? She was with us when we had the young people on the program a while back. She bragged about all the yummy vegan brownies and everything else she ate.
Yes, I am what I like. I am what I like to call her spirit spring, her so-called stepfather. But yeah, Z has also went from a poison-filled diet to a total vegan diet, and she is very, very healthy. And because she's so young, she had no problem adapting to it. She is only 10 years old, but she started becoming vegan when she was 9. So she's very much accustomed to this clean eating. Like, I would take her to the store, and I would ask her if she wants something, and then she would say, no, most of the stuff here is poison. Mm. So the importance of showing, teaching the young the truth about white supremacy and how they have made poison taste sweet and good and death taste sweet and good, you will find a lot of young people, they can absorb the information and without a lot of confusion or hassle. But racism and racist movement have trained us to think that children are like incapable of doing such things. So yes.
Seen that as well. Children can understand quite a bit, especially when you just break it down and don't lie, use logic. 1 and 1 is 2. They can get that, especially by 10. Like, oh yeah, just make it logical, man. They can make it understand. And I think with the food, as long as it tastes good, like that is, you know, the big thing. If we can do healthy and delicious, let's ride. I've seen that with children pretty consistently as well. If we're giving tips for our caller, who that's what he said he was looking for. All of those soups, and even he was mentioning lentils and lots of crock pot. Super, I mean, if all the people that are about being lazy, crock pot. My crock pot is in use right now. Chickpea pot pies. I could have just bought chickpeas, made my own chickpeas, just because that way I can have extra so I can use them for something else. And it's chickpea pot pie. Even chickpeas are better when you make them yourself or cook them yourself, I'll say. So crock pot, it's, you can make so many soups so easy, lentils so easy. I made vegan sloppy joes in my crock pot, like just I think like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is. But there's so many things that you can. I'm going to use my crock pot. I think again, like in 2 or 3 days, I'm going to make curry, which is close to a soup. But I'm going to make sweet potato, pumpkin curry, brown rice. It's amazing. That's what I mean. Like, it should be exciting to eat every day, every time that you sit down to eat. Amazing. But just two appliances, I guess, for our Shadow in Pennsylvania. To make it easy, two appliances that can help with the transition, crock pot, blender. I think our caller in California did mention the fancy schmancy Vitamix, which I am fortunate enough to have, which you can do some amazing things. But even if you don't, you know, want to splurge that much on it, you can just get a pretty good quality blender and you could still do quite a bit, like pestos and sauces, smoothies, like all kinds of goodies in the kitchen. Blender, Vitamix if you want to splurge, and a crock pot. Crock pot doesn't have to be expensive at all. Like, and I mean, you can do so much. Or an Instapot, I guess you could do. They have the combinations and all that. But those can be really easy ways. Like, you can drop the food in there before you go to work, put it on low, 8 hours low, or you have 10-hour shifts. So, yeah. Anyway, you can figure it out. Really easy, and you can have lots of great meals that are not processed, cooked, and you'll probably have leftovers, so you can eat like 2 or 3 times for the week. Let's see. If you have any other folks, anything that you want to share with Doctor, or if you have a thought, Dr. Lathan, that you just want to get on the record, or any tips you'd like to share for folks transitioning to a vegan diet, or any of the tips, details shared from Dr. Lathan, if you've been able to apply them constructively, feel free to share. 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. I'll make sure. I think I did finally. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I tried like 50,000 times to upload the audio file from this past. Oh, there it is. There it is. Finally, after 8 billion tries. This is from just this past weekend, right? We had Irie on the program, and she was talking about her child and what he found in his meal or what have you, eating all the meat products and what have you. I'm sure Dr. Lathan would have had a word or two to share from this. This is just from this past weekend.
Yeah. I know I'm in the chatterbox tonight. I just thought it was funny. My son lifts weights, and we've been trying to convince him to go vegan and that he can get his protein from plants, and he wouldn't do it. So he was cooking some chicken a few nights ago, and he actually found a nematode in a piece of chicken, and he had to throw it all out. And I asked him, I said, well, what are you going to do if you cook some more chicken and you find another worm? And, you know, we can even identify what type of worm it was. It could have been a tapeworm, could have been a roundworm, whatever. And he's like, I don't know, and I don't care. I'm not going to stop eating meat, so I'm hoping I can get him to listen to Dr. Ruby and maybe even have him on the line live so he can hear from her how he can still bodybuild and not eat meat, because that was pretty scary. He could have eaten the worm, the parasite. And it was hilarious, too, because he had just told him to stop eating meat. So thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night, girl.
Context of white supremacy. That was just from the compensatory call-in this past weekend. And I mean, certainly you can get kale or other vegetables. Like, oh my gosh, a bug is on my kale. You have to wash it. I mean, it's fresh fruit, grows on the ground, grows outside. So that certainly could happen. But getting a parasite in my chicken breast might make me feel a little differently about chicken noodle soup or KFC, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes. At all. Incidentally, I will say real quickly, and then see if any of the other folks are with us have thoughts they wanted to share. The mental component is really strong. Like for a lot of people, like I said, with eating, a lot of us have connections to, you know, our attempted family experience that happened in our lives. Like sometimes you have what they call birthday parties, and you get, you know, whatever your foods are and things, so you get associated that way, or other people's parties and events and certain foods, certain holidays you might have certain food, and that might be associated with being around attempted family members and that type of thing. So it's lots of different ways, lots of different connections that we have to food, just beyond what it tastes like, what it looks like, what it smells like, that sort of thing. All of that said, like a lot of, you know, our cravings, which is an interesting word, they have been seasoned in the system of white supremacy. They have been conditioned. So, yeah, I'll just say that, yeah, I could even say for Gus, I remember a time when I would have said, oh, that's crazy. There's no way you could have a filling meal and not have some sort of meat product. That's just lunatic talk. There is a time when I too have said, there's no way you can, you know, you'll be some little frail person. You'll have pencil arms and all the rest of it if you just sit around and eat fruits and vegetables all the time. There was a time when I thought that way too. None of that is accurate at all. But many people think that way. Many, even at this late date. But lots of it with diet is mental. I can only say again, once you You just eat yummy food all the time. I was going to say Monday. I wasn't even going to share what I was going to eat today, partly because I haven't eaten the rest of my food yet, but I was going to do Monday. And I know people on the keto diet. I was going to ask Dr. Lathan about that too. I had a smoothie, as I do almost every day. I had my smoothie. I had lentil sloppy joes, which Dr. Lathan has a recipe for on her site as well. She uses tempeh for hers. I used lentils for mine. That would be two different options for non-processed sloppy joes, which are traditionally red meat made. They were amazing. Dense. I had them on whole wheat toasted buns, and I had homemade beer battered onion rings. Absurd. I didn't even take pictures. The onion rings, I am so accustomed to the way onion rings normally look, the dark brown, really thick, and this was more of a tempura beer batter, and I used brown rice flour, not the traditional white flour. Very pale in color, but super crispy. Some of the best. I cursed and griped while I was making these onion rings, because if you do fried foods, you end up with the flour, because you got to do the flour and then you got to make the batter. It's not the easiest thing. Like, we were talking about ease. Man, cutting open a bag of Impossible Burgers and frying those is way easier than having to do, let me make the batter and get the flour and get the oil heated. And then you got to do one hand for the flour and one hand for the batter so you don't get all clumpy and blah, 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 and don't spill the flour. Although, I mean, it could just be a really messy process that I did curse quite a bit about, because I did spill some flour in all of this, and I spilled flour on myself. That's why you do apron and all that. So I'm cursing while I'm making these after I got about two or three in my mouth. It's like, you're going to have to suck it up and make these again. Like, wow. Some of the best onion rings I have ever had. Like, get the dirt off your shoulders, Gus. Whew. Beer battered tempura brown rice flour onion rings from scratch. And then I had from scratch chocolate chip cookies. Vegan, of course. And topped with vegan butter pecan ice cream. Absurd. Like, that was my vegan eats for Monday. I did not have a single gripe, complaint. Everything was amazing. I think I made everything from scratch except the ice cream. Doesn't have to be that every day, but I mean, or yeah, it can be that every day when you just get to eat really amazing, delicious, healthy, tasty food every day. Let's see. Caller. Oh, we got other people in California. Other folks in the California area.
Hi, this is Black H2O Mel. I'm calling from the place where Ron Settle got murdered at.
I'm sorry, sir. Could you repeat that again? Because I didn't get to hear what you said. Can you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm calling. This is Black H2O Mel. I'm calling from the city where Ron Settle got murdered.
Who?
That Ron Suttle. That was reference to the OJ book.
Oh my God. Thank you, Ron Settle. I couldn't hear. That's why I was saying, what is he saying? Ron Settle. Yes, thank you. Okay. Johnny Cochran, got you.
Okay. This is I'm just gonna talk about my journey. I'm plant based. I'm still trying to work on being vegan, but my personal journey is I was going plant based, and then I'm also the one person who calls in that dwight had a heart transplant also, too. So, as I was doing my transition to plant-based, and my wife is a meat eater, but she was 405 pounds. So, you know, you couldn't tell by outward looking at her that she was, you know, big and tubby, but I guess she just got away with eating that, you know, and still being slim, and she's the one who got the heart transplant, like I said. So, as I went through the transition to going plant-based, I totally feel different. I mean, more energy. I mean, I do a lot of, like, action sports where I snowboard and paddleboard and all that stuff, too. So there's a lot of banging on my body, my joints feel better, more energy, and you also have three offspring, too. So, I mean, that keeps me busy with, you know, dealing with my wife and her health problems and have three offspring, too. So it just keeps me busy and more energetic. I just haven't, you know, plant-based and been healthy. So I try making get my offspring on board, but unfortunately, as a tempted parent, not knowing any better when I was younger, you know, they were introduced to, like, you know, I thought I was eating healthy or teaching how to eat healthy by eating like turkey instead of like pork or red meat. So I'm trying to transition them slowly into a plant-based vegan diet. It's working with one of them, but the other two, I'm still getting on board, but they're kind of young. But it's just wonderful when you can, you know, eat healthy and get away from the poison and you feel better. That's all I have to say.
From the area where Ron Settles was killed. Much obliged, sir. Wow, that's amazing. Have offspring. Glad to hear parents, attempted parents, dialing in and talking about, you know, trying to model correct behavior with regards to proper eating for their children. Like, that is so, man, that is can be life changing, right? Childhood obesity. That was where we started. I was going to talk to Dr. Lathan about that in detail this evening, but I mean, that is so crucial, just kind of laying a quality foundation and then modeling that so your children can see you committed and, you know, regularly eating well, eating healthy and promoting, you know, plant-based eating. Like, that is, see, that's what I mean. Like, this is not just, you know, so I can brag about, ooh, I had, look at the onion rings I had. No, this is, I don't want to have a heart transplant. I want to stay out of the doctor's office, medical apartheid, coon man, and all that. If I can avoid that, I will do. If eating carrots will help me avoid that, let's get the carrots. Let's see. We can make them tasty. Like, we can find lots of ways. Smoothie. Give me that blender. Give me that crock pot. Carrots are going in the chickpea pot. Did we miss someone? Who was that?
Oh, sorry. That was me at 40 years old, too. That's
my heart transplant. Oh, my God. Woo. At 40 years old, my goodness, my goodness. That is why we are talking about this subject matter. Health and vitality. I mean, she could have died, right? At 40, you all have three children. She could have died.
Correct. It was like a 3-year process, and it was actually a fight to even get her to that point, to get a heart transplant. But I'll save that for like another day. And I had did the book review, guys, with the medical apartheid. And then right after that whole book review that was over, and she had a heart attack. So
wow.
I come from a totally different perspective. So
wow. Had you heard Dr. Vanessa Grubbs, where she talked about the kidney transplants and that whole process? Her husband had to get a kidney transplant, which she gave him her kidney?
Correct. I heard that.
Oh, okay.
Correct. I was listening to that. Matter of fact, during that time, I was in the hospital because she was in the hospital.
Wow.
In and out during that time. So I had a lot of time to catch up with the cows. So while I was sitting at UCLA, you know, by her bedside, I was in a whole bunch of cows and listening to the stuff in the archives, too.
Wow. I'm glad she made it. That is, I mean, wow, to be, woof, man. Give me all the carrots. Give me all the carrots. Like, man, like this is not abstract talk at all. It's not just to be cute. It's not just, again, so I can brag and show off how many Whole Foods bags that I have, or, you know, how many pounds of hemp seeds I ate this month. And, you know, I had chia seeds and you don't. Nope. I don't want a heart transplant at 40 or 50 or 70 if I can help it. I want to be healthy. Vitality, be able to play with my children. Look at all the attempted parents, attempted fathers. I want to be able to play with my children, educate my children, model healthy eating for them. Like, that's what this is about. That is the protest. What is on my plate? It is not going to be Cheetos and high fructose corn syrup and sodas and nonsense. I'm going to be eating as healthy as I possibly can, trying to do better, but as healthy as I possibly can. Super important. Wow. Could have died. And I mean, there's so many, people in my family. I was thinking about who, you know, started having all kinds of health problems. Racism, white supremacy, most to blame for sure. But I mean, a lot of it, right, with diet specifically. And people in their 40s and 30s and sometimes even younger, where I mean, that should be the last thing. Like, what are you talking about at 40 and at 35? Like, what are you talking about? High blood pressure. Like, what are you talking about? Let's see. Do you have any other folks comments that they want to get in?
Can I be heard?
I believe this is Z's mommy. Man, before you even get started, he said that you did a burrito with cheese sauce and lentils. I meant to include that, like, hang on right there, because I even have photos of this. Like, man, before, let's see, in between the homemade onion rings and sloppy joes, I had nachos, I had burritos, I had homemade salsa, homemade guacamole, homemade cheese sauce. That was amazing. Have the pictures. The nachos, and I did burritos. I did burritos, since she did burritos, so I had burritos with all of that, and I had grilled onions, peppers, mushrooms for the burrito. And I had sour cream. I could have made it, but I cheated and bought the sour cream. Absolutely ridiculous. Like, I would challenge any, like, meat-filled chicken burrito in the universe. Spicy, filling. Oh, my God. Zia's mom?
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think that the cheese and the guac, when you make it from scratch, it tastes so much better than the store-bought ones anyway. So it's always better. And plus, you know what's in there. You know how much sodium is in there too, because you're putting all of the salt and stuff like that. I had a question for everyone. Something that I've noticed is there's a lot of talk, obviously, about sugar. And I've been baking a lot lately, and I see people using agave. And I've heard that agave may actually be worse for you. And I know that, like, under white supremacy, they're always going to try and confuse us when it comes to nutrition. But I was wondering if anyone else knew, or, like, what other people use when they bake. Do you use brown sugar, coconut sugar, date sugar, agave? Yeah, if anyone has information on the health of those different types of sugars, that would be great, too.
Fascinating. I'm not an expert. Not a certified nutritionist. Dr. Lathan is. So that would have been awesome, and I'm sure she could have knocked that out. I know for Dr. Lathan, most of her recipes that I've seen, and I've participated in some of her cooking workshops, just as a spectator, she generally, I think, does not use white sugar. I've seen where she will use dates as a sugar replacement. I think she has done coconut sugar as well, but I have to double check. I know for sure dates, though. I'm not sure about brown sugar, and I don't know her position on agave, but I know she generally tries to steer clear of white sugar and just try to go natural with things, natural sweeteners, fruit sweeteners, that sort of thing, and not trying to go overboard. I know she's talked about that as well, like not trying to go crazy with sweets every day and all the time, type of a thing. As in terms of me personally, I do lots of baking. I made chocolate chip cookies Monday. I made to die for cinnamon rolls, salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls that were like totally to die for. They had, I'm trying to remember, I used brown sugar for those. I think I could have easily switched that and done mung fruit, which I've used before. I've made sugarless peach cobbler. That was amazing. Like, you could totally fool meat eaters or what have you. And just not even told them it was vegan or sugarless. Just say, oh yeah, I made peach cobbler, have some. And, you know, they wouldn't have known the difference. Mung fruit is a really good one. It's a one-to-one substitute. I think coconut is one-to-one substitute as well. Coconut sugar. But yeah, I generally don't use agave. I generally do not. I've swapped and just used maple syrup sometimes, organic quality maple syrup as a sweetener in some ingredients. I've swapped and even used molasses in some ingredients, depending on what it is. But I guess, yeah, the main thing is, I guess as long as it's not going too crazy, try to be natural, not too much of it. They have so many different sugar options out there. I'm a huge fan of monk fruit. They have that at Costco here where you can get it like in bulk, but it's not super expensive. And I've had, at least baking, spectacular. Let's see, any other folks? Do they have, I guess, thoughts on... but I guess this will see, we'll see where our cooks are in the cows audience. So people with their sugar, either subbing out sugar. What are you using for baking? Are you using agave, brown sugar, white sugar, mung fruit, coconut sugar? What are people using for their sugar? Are they trying to get away from it at all?
May I be heard?
This is Shadow, Pennsylvania. Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, I'm in a loud area. I'll just go inside of the building here. I wanted to say thank you to you and the other callers for the suggestions. I do. I have a blender and a food processor and a few other things. I also had falafel. I had no idea they were vegan. It was delicious. I've had quite a few other dishes: the carrot hot dogs, the cauliflower, the fried cauliflower. I did mine sweet sriracha with. I did use agave, and I purchased cane, organic cane sugar. All of the products that I buy are organic because of the GMO and the Monsanto situation with regards to the seeds and the chemicals that they bathe things in. But I also wanted to make a comment with regards to water, if that's okay. We were speaking on water and the importance of it. During the Yorugu reading, I listened to that online in my own time. I happened to come across a Canadian study that said that something like 33% of random bottled waters, they purchased quite a few different brands ranging from high to low income or
Not hearing you. Shadow in Pennsylvania. Your volume sounds like you got very distant. Not hearing you. Shadow in Pennsylvania. Can you hear us? Shadow, we were not able to hear you. I think right when you got to the point where you said the study and bottled water, your volume went out. So we were not able to hear about the last 60 seconds of your commentary. Oh, can you hear us? Shadow in Pennsylvania, can you hear us? Not sure if it's...
Phone. I apologize, I muted my line. I'm here.
Oh, okay. We were not able to hear about the last 60 seconds of your commentary when you were talking, when you got to the portion about the bottled water and the study comparison, then it went out, so we didn't hear anything more after that. So if you want to give it to us one more time.
Oh, yes, I apologize. I'm at work here, so I... During the Dr. Marimba Ani Yorugu book reading, I listened to this maybe last year at some point. I came across my YouTube feed information regarding, there was a study, a Canadian study done on bottled water, and they found that I think it was something like 30% of random bottled waters. They purchased a wide range of bottled waters from low price to high price. 30% of them had small plastic particulates in them from the manufacturing process. I myself am involved with manufacturers and, you know, I deal, not water manufacturers, but just manufacturing in general. And I see defects and I'm kind of aware as to what happens. Things lay on floors and, you know, people are people. But, that spoke to the, Dr. Marimba Ani saying in Yorugu that even when white people give us gifts, they will be wrapped in death. And I just thought that tied into the water situation when we do drink our water. I mean, when I do drink my water, I have a stainless steel container that I use my filtered water from home in. I'll mute my line.
Love it. Love it. Harriet A. Washington talked about that in A Terrible Thing to Waste, in trying to research and get the best quality filter that you can, and all of the plastic and what have you that ends up contaminating water sources. So, yeah, I don't do a whole lot of plastic bottled water myself, but drink water and try to get the healthiest, uncontaminated, poison-free water that you can. Flint, Newark, they do make that an obstacle for many non-white people in many, many parts of the world as well. It's plastic in the Coca-Cola, too, so. Let's see. Do you have any other folks who had commentary on the Z's mom's question about baking, use of sugar? I think caller included, he said he did do some agave and all organic. I try to do all organic as well. About what they're using for sugar, if you've totally kicked white sugar, are you just doing brown sugar, are you doing agave, coconut sugar, mung fruit, what are folks using for sugar, especially when they're doing some cooking, baking? Any other commentary on that one? As I said, we find out where our bakers are in the cow's audience. Yeah, I guess we shall see. I'll be itching to ask Dr. Ruby that when she returns to the program. But I'm so glad we got to hear from so many different parents on the program, and people that are trying to eat well for their children and make sure that their children are eating well, so they're not contributing to what we heard at the beginning, all the childhood obesity. Man, like that. And that Dr. Judith Finlayson, you are what your grandparents ate. Being obese during those childhood years has such a huge impact on your lifelong health and vitality. So bravo to all of the parents. I'm glad got to hear the carrot hot dog. That's such a winner. I'm not surprised. I'm glad, but I'm not surprised. Those carrot hot dogs are amazing for anybody, especially if you have offspring, younger children, like they love finger foods. Those carrot hot dogs, if you have a Vitamix, that nacho cheese, once you have it, it's so versatile, you know. Nachos, woo, burritos, quesadillas, enchiladas. You could just dip it, you know, like you could get broccoli and just, you know, have it dipped in nacho cheese or celery sticks or any other vegetables and, you know, right in nacho cheese. Trying to think. Fried rice is an easy one. I loved fried rice. I love Chinese food in general. But I think many, 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 many people love fried rice. That is a very easy one to do vegan. You can add like crispy tofu or tempeh, lots of different options. Or you could just do lots of veggies. I've done that too. They have the just egg now. So if you want to give the egg texture to the dish, you can add that as well. Yeah, I mean, I love fried rice. That's something I haven't had fried rice in over a month, and I'm stunned about it. I had veggie lo mein yesterday, so I'm making do, but fried rice is a really easy one where you can have a lot of vegetables, and it's great. You can make egg rolls from scratch and have egg rolls, fried rice. That's an easy one. Other easy dishes. Pesto is an easy one if you have a blender and a food processor where you can get lots of fresh vegetables. Basil is so good for you, and that's easy to make. You can make that with cashews, pine nuts, sunflower seeds, lots of different ways that you can make fresh pesto. Pasta was mentioned before, where you can do that and just have fresh vegetables. In fact, I made fresh pesto. I made sweet potato pasta, used my spiralizer, spiralized the sweet potato, so I had sweet potato noodles, and then not pesto sauce, Alfredo sauce. It was Alfredo sauce, sweet potato noodles, and then battered zucchini, not tempura, but just battered zucchini metals. Like, oh my gosh, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That's an easy one. You can just do regular pasta. You can buy pasta at the store, get all kinds of different plant-based pastas or whatever you like. But Alfredo, that's another easy one that you can do in a processor. You can do that with cashews, I think white onions, fresh ground pepper, a little bit of garlic, nutritional yeast. Like, that's a really easy one to do. Any other recipes that I'd be like? Folks that are transitioning. Soups were mentioned. Curries are really easy if you are into curry. I love curry. That's an easy one to do. Other easy recipes. The crock pot, the curry that I'm going to do, then anything that you can get in the crock pot is super easy. Those sloppy joes are really easy. All that is like lentils, onions, celery. That's most of it right there. Lentils, onions, celery. Boil the lentils. You saute the celery and I think carrots. Are carrots in that? I think carrots might be in it. Celery, carrots, onion, garlic. Saute it a little while. You add all the ingredients, dump everything in the crock pot, and then walk away. Come back in 4 hours. Or you can put it on low, come back in 8 hours, and eat. I mean, it does not get any easier. Dr. Ruby has tons of recipes on her site, and I think he has estimated times for a lot of the dishes. As I said, there are tons of like vegan websites and what have you with recommendations, and you know, you can see if this is something that's easy to make. Is this going to take more time? I totally understand if you're a parent and or if you're just busy, you don't have, you know, all day to slave in a kitchen. I get it. They have lots of recipes that are super easy. If you do splurge and get a Vitamix, you can make soup in the flippin' Vitamix. They have some amazing soups that you can make right there that are super healthy, delicious. And I think Z's mom was saying, you can tailor them if you don't want it to have too much salt or whatever else. You can personalize the dish. But I mean, you do not have to be a gourmet chef, but in 2021, there is no excuse to be like totally helpless in the kitchen. Like, as an attempted counter-racist, there might be a time where you have to feed like 4 or 5 people. There might be a meeting or whatever the case is. You have to help out some non-white people, emergency in the family. Let me make sure that I can prepare a meal that will not kill everybody or contribute to their health problems. That, I think, is a worthwhile skill. Certainly, if you are an attempted parent, you cannot be inept in the kitchen. You don't have to be throwing down like Z's mom where you got vegan brownies and all kinds of yumminess flying out. But I mean, hey, that should be the goal, in my opinion. Like, hey, if you're going to have offspring, it cannot be, oh, God, I got to cook for these children. Nope. You signed up for this. Let me be joyful and excited. Let's get these vegan brownies rolling with a smile. What you eat, super, super important. Drink more water. Drink more water. Any other tips, recommendations folks want to make sure they share?
Oh, can I be heard? This is Z's mom again.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to say also with kids, it really helps if you get them to help you make the food too, because then always being a part of the process is going to make them so excited when they end up making it. They'll like show everyone, oh, look what I made and stuff. And I also wanted to say, like, it helps to always have something meal prepped for the week. So my parents are African, so I make a lot of African stews, and I just make it in bulk so that if I don't want to cook that day, there's always stew. And you can easily, all those stews have the same base. So you can make like a spinach stew, an okra stew, like just like a tomato-based stew, a bean stew, and it takes like maybe 30 minutes, but you can make it for the whole week. And then if you want to cook other stuff, some days you can, but it's always good to have that there for the kids to have a meal that they can just go to, if that helps.
Mm-hmm. I just made African peanut soup. That crock pot. That was amazing. Yep. I have to see. Have you made that recently? African peanut soup? Is that one of your like star dishes?
No, I usually only make the stews, but my cousins who live down the street from me, they make the soup, the peanut butter soup. They've made it recently. So yeah, it's one of my favorites actually from childhood.
Mm, I
love that. That was when the first time I got it, I was not vegan and did not even know that it was plant-based until I went back to look at all the ingredients. Like, oh, wow, this is so good. Another one that's super filling. You can just have that with, like, brown rice. Psh, knockout. I would like to check out your recipe, like, yeah, or your cousin's, if that's not asking too much. If it's a family heirloom or something, then, you know, I understand. But yeah, I would like to check out their recipe. Let me see how they put theirs together. Like, always like a good, peanut soup recipe to try out. But that is, phew, spectacular tip to involve the children in the cooking process, which certainly means you can't be grumpy and miserly about being in the kitchen. You know, can't be cursing about making onion rings if you're going to have the children there. So absolutely. And in fact, retired firefighter, when he suggested to help, you know, improve the menu and the young fellas down in South Florida, like, hey, let's eat some quality food. One of the suggestions I gave was to ask Whole Foods, or one of those what they call upscale white delicatessens grocery stores, do they have a demonstration kitchen? Because many of those stores in Seattle, they do, and they have cooking workshops. And they're a lot of times they'll be expensive too. They'll be like, you know, $200 or more sometimes, where they'll come in and show you how to prepare these types. They might cook African peanut soup or whatever. If they do have such a kitchen, ask them to do a workshop for these young fellas where they can get in and cook and, you know, do a meal themselves. And as she just said, they will be excited. Like, yes, I put my finger in that. Let's try it. Let's try it. Like, everybody is way more interested in trying something that they helped make. So absolutely. You can, I even said, hey, take them to the farmer's market. Like, you can be involved from the beginning to the end. Like, go and pick out the fruits and the veggies and all of that. You can take them to the grocery store so you can see, this is what we're going to make. We're at the grocery store. Pick out the ingredients. Let's pick out the, you know, this is the spinach that we want to get. These are tomatoes we want to use, blah, blah, blah. The cooking, all of that. They will be way more. And said from the beginning, food is about way more than what does this taste like? What does this look like? It is the whole experience. That now is a part of the experience. We didn't go to KFC, McDonald's. I went with mom to the store, went with dad to the store, and we picked out produce together. In fact, I learned how to pick out a good watermelon. I learned how to pick out apples and why it's important to get these items from the grocery store. And then we would go home and prepare. We made this together. Instead of the foods that they crave being the whatever nonsense at Taco Bell. Remember Taco Bell? Ugh. And Chick-fil-A and all the rest of that. It will be craving these enchiladas or these brownies that I made with mom. Made these with dad while we were at home for the Rona. Very different experience being encoded, as opposed to, yeah, we just got on Uber Eats and, you know, we ordered fish fillets. Do they still have fish fillets? They still got fish fillets, I'm sure. We ordered fish fillets and, you know, burritos from the place, and it was great. We all gained 15 pounds. Woo, man. It's not even funny. I shouldn't be laughing, because that is for sure what happened for a whole lot, like millions of people. That's exactly what happened. That is the counter-racism right there. Incidentally, I did want to say that. Double check, make sure anybody else has any other comments that they want to get in. Like, being in shape, like, man, people, all the folks who shared, I don't think we heard from anybody who said, we went plant-based and went crazy. Like, I lost my mind. Like, I just couldn't function anymore. I haven't had, you know, chicken nuggets in so long, and I can't think straight. We didn't hear that. We heard lots of people who said that they felt better, lost weight, no more headaches. Like, whoa, that's amazing. All kinds of good things. You can eat great. Like, since Friday, don't want anybody to think I miss out on any yumminess being plant-based. So since Friday, I had homemade chocolate chip cookies, amazing. Could have some today if I like. Homemade salted caramel pecan rolls. pecan cinnamon rolls, salted caramel cinnamon, or pecan cinnamon rolls. Whew, so good, you can't even speak correctly. These were so good. I couldn't even speak. Like, I took pictures. They're on my Facebook page. Like, oh my God. I had to sit and just be like, wow. If there was no system of racism, white supremacy, I would maybe just make salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls every day. And egg rolls. I said that before. I would make egg rolls and salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls every day. Maybe have mango grove outside so we can have really good smoothies with mangoes whenever we feel like it. But that would be what to do. Like, wow. Like, that was the first time I made something. It's like, oh, if ever there is a grudge and I need to get on somebody's good side, whew, salted caramel, pecan cinnamon rolls, back in their good graces. Or they would at least have to reconsider, like, regardless of what it is, like, if you totaled the car, whatever it is, they would at least have to reconsider, like, ooh, the cinnamon rolls are pretty good. I'll think about it. Gus is still a coon, but I am going to think about it while I eat these cinnamon rolls. They are that good. If we ever can do the retreat again safely with no Rona and all, I was going to say the sweet potato pie is like going to be our Cows Yoga Retreat signature dessert. It has been supplanted. I think it would have to be the salted caramel pecan cinnamon rolls. Ridiculous. And I think they could easily be sugarless because I think there was only like a cup. I think there's like 2/3 of a cup of brown sugar in the salted caramel. And like, it's not a whole lot of sugar in the rolls. Maybe half a cup. It's not a whole lot. So I'm pretty sure that could easily be monk fruit or something else. It could be sugarless and still devastating. Anyway, we will hopefully have Dr. Lathan with us as time permits. But I mean, priorities, man, if anything, the whole reason we were having her on the program, the whole reason that she does all of her fantastic work, certified nutritionist, RubyLathan.com, health, vitality, so that we can be on the planet functioning as long as possible with as much energy, strength as possible for as long as we can. That is the goal. That's why. That's why, not just to swap all these recipes and all that. What can we eat to live well so that we have the vitality to solve this problem? Remember Christopher Everett? He was on the program with us about a year ago. Last summer, he did the documentary Wilmington on Fire. He said he no longer had the vitality to even do the sequel to his documentary. Said, I think his weight had, he got up to like 315 pounds. How many of us with COVID-19 and all the rest of it? Now, he did say he hadn't been eating well before all that, but I mean, tons of folks, millions of people, all the stress and everything, and then not eating well. I think he also said he was drinking alcohol in that too. That is why all of this is super important and important at a young age. Bravo again to all of the attempted parents doing outstanding work modeling for your children. I mean, that is counter-racist work right there. Every time, if you are an attempted parent, every time you sit down at the dinner table, breakfast table, lunch table, or if you don't sit down, that right there is counter-racist work. What am I showing my child about the value of food and what you put in your body? You are what your grandparents ate. Everybody should check that book out. Like, talks about fertility in that book too, but everybody should check that book out. Judith Finlayson, she was in the program. She does have some great tips in her slow cooker book, Sloppy Joe. I got the recipe for the Sloppy Joes from her, even though it's very close to Dr. Lathan's recipe. Anywho, we'll be here tomorrow for the book club. Food came up there too. It came up there too. Geronimo Pratt, he survived a quarter century, he said, doing yoga and going vegan. He said that explicitly, like in the book. We're like, man, Gus T, all kinds of plugs. Like, he might as well come to the yoga retreat. Like, man. But that's tomorrow. We're getting close to the end. And Johnny L. Cochran Jr., woo, the legend, Southern California. Ron Settles. Johnny L. Cochran Jr., the legend, coming up tomorrow. Lots to learn as we go down the home stretch for Last Man Standing, the tragedy and triumph of Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, plant-based eater and yogi, victim of white supremacy as well. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific tomorrow. Neutralizing Workplace Racism will be here Friday, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Compensatory call-in on Saturday. There's a white group that requested to be a guest on this program. They did a documentary. I have to share it because I forgot we have lots of plant-based eaters now. I have to share it with you all. They asked to be a guest on the program. You all know I always give a jaundiced eye when people request to be a guest on the cows, but these are white people. Like, I am going to tell them, let's ride. Like, we should just all be, I'll make sure everybody is well notified in advance. Like, these folks asked to come to the cows. So we should all like have super suspicion about their presence, even bearing gifts, as was said. But and then we can check out their film, too, to see if they have any constructive information. But the documentary is not about, or I haven't seen it, but it's supposedly the way they pitched it. It was about plant-based eating, why that's so important. I'll share. I'll post it Facebook, Twitter. I'll share, and then we'll definitely tell them, you are welcome. Let's pick a date. Come visit the cows. We'll see if we can do that soon. Anything else folks need to get in, or we good for the evening again? Could have had Dr. Lathan, but man, so sad about the passing of her father. RubyLathan.com. You can, if you want to drop her a message, just any of your thoughts, if you think she would appreciate that, feel free. RubyLathan.com. You can visit her website and get her contact information if you want to drop her a line. But again, hopefully her lovely sister, lovely mother, everyone in her family, brother, man, I hope they are all eating really healthy food, getting lots of rest, taking care of one another, and having lots of great memories of her father. It has been a very, very unpleasant period of time. Any other comments? Folks need to make sure they get in. Grant, we will be here tomorrow. Try and do our best to get this problem solved. Try and eat well between now and then for the folks who are still got some eating left to do in their Wednesday, like Gus T. Chickpea pot pie is in the future. We'll have to check. Cannot wait till Dr. Ruby is able to rejoin us and is healthy and all the rest to ask her about the sugar question as well, because that is important. Lots of sugar addiction. Anything that will get people to put that sugar down, super important. Minimize the sugar intake as well. Much obliged for everyone tuning in and the kind words for Dr. Lathan and her family. We'll be here in 24 hours. Sobriety would be best. Life gave me beer, and literally, I made beer-battered onion rings instead of just, oh, I'll have a brew. Sobriety would be best. In addition to being sober, if you are going to go out, be very alert. People are, you know, going, or it looks like at least moving in the direction of, hey, the Rona thing is over. We're getting back to so-called normal. Be very alert. People are still stressed and, you know, doing incorrect things en masse. If it looks like someone is being rowdy, loud in public, this is not a time to confront. There are lots of new gun owners. You should be thinking this person may be armed, and this person may have a whole cadre of folks with them who are also armed, ready to be violent. This is not a time for confrontation with strangers. Exit. Other things are happening. You can call enforcement officers as you exit, take photographs, all of that. No need to engage someone in that manner unless, hey, I left my residence prepared to kill and or die if needed. For most of us, that is not the case. No need to escalate with random folks on the plantation. All of that said, if you are driving, you are not on your cell phone. We need all of our attention, and we're trying to minimize contact with the Mark Furmans of the known universe. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. No name calling. That is an easy one. If anybody says, man, I love some McDonald's, I'm not letting go of my cheeseburger. Gotta keep my cheat days, as they say. Gotta have my sodas and all the rest of it. Well, no name calling at minimum. Hopefully that will be a little bit easier than turning loose of, you know, that chicken sandwich and all the rest of it. We can get to that tomorrow maybe, but no name calling, that should be way easy. Calling another black person something other than what they wish to be called is not going to help us solve one problem. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.